Father God, we just praise you tonight. We glorify you. Father, you are all that we need and more. Father, you are always more than enough. Father God, you provide for our lives so greatly. Father, we thank you. We praise you here tonight. Come on, everybody. Just go ahead and praise him right where you stand. Lift your hands and your voices and glorify him. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus here tonight. Father, we thank you. Your power is in this room. Father, we thank you. Your power is in your word. Father, we thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. Father, we thank you. You are so good. Father, you are faithful. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Father, you are a covenant God, and we are your covenant family. Father, we will obey you. We will follow you. Father, we will know your ways. And Father, we'll watch you do great things all around us. And Father, we just praise you tonight. We glorify you. Father, we're hungry for your word. Therefore, we're going to be blessed and filled. Father, we crave and desire the manifestations of the Spirit. Father, we thank you. You reveal yourself to us. Father, you meet every need. You pay every debt. Father, you are more than enough. You are our abundant, providing God. And Father, we just praise you. We glorify you and magnify you, Father God. And Lord God, we're just going to feast on your word. We're going to do what you say. Father, we just thank you for the help of the Holy Ghost in this service here tonight. And Father, we'll give you all the praise. We'll give you all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. Hey, before you're seated, just turn around to one or two people that are close with you there. Let them know you're glad to see them here tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I'll tell you what, it's so good to see everyone here tonight. Hey, you know, I know it's a warm one out there and it's humid and sticky, but I'll tell you what, don't let that hot weather slow you down. You know, don't let it steal your praise. Amen. Did you come ready to shout here tonight? Yeah, praise the Lord. I'm excited about this message, but then again, I'm excited about every message. Amen. Because if it's out of the Word of God, it's going to bless our lives. Amen. It's going to feed our spirit. It's going to renew our minds, give strength and health to our bodies. Glory to God. Amen. You know, we've just been saying this. 2018 is a year of harvest. 2018 is the best year yet. I know some of you have been going through, you know, some of the biggest trials maybe you have faced in a long time. But I tell you what, that's just because there's something big and better on the other side of it. Amen. And so God is good, his word is good, and we're excited about it. All right, well, we're going to have you turn to two places here tonight. Go with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. Go ahead and put a ribbon or a bookmark there in Genesis chapter 22. And then go over to Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to need to hold a place there as well. Hebrews 11 and Genesis 22. Because we are going to be going back and forth because these scriptures give us a good look into this passage that we're going to be reading. Hebrews chapter 11, mark that. And we're going to call this message tonight, The Miracle of Being Led by the Spirit. And you heard it correctly, the miracle of being led by the Spirit. Or you could say better yet, when we're led by the Spirit, we qualify for miracles. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, we cannot overstate, we cannot overestimate the importance of being led by the Holy Ghost. Of course, I taught a message just a few weeks back, you know, on the same subject. We're going to revisit it maybe in a little bit greater depth here tonight. You know, start taking a look at how God works, how he leads us, how we benefit from being led by the Spirit. After a solid knowledge of the Word, being led by the Spirit is the single most important aspect of the Christian life. Amen. Of course, you remember Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. If we want God to take responsibility for us, we have to be led by His Spirit. We talked about that. We talked about, you know, not receiving the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have been the recipients of the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Amen. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so what's the Holy Ghost doing today? He's bearing witness with your spirit. Praise the Lord. And so we've talked about that recently. It's so important to know how to be led by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Many Christians are in a place where they need a miracle, but they would have never gotten to that place had they listened to the leading of the Holy Ghost. Not that it's wrong to need a miracle. And please know that as we teach this message, the goal is not to accuse anybody. The goal is not to, you know, feel guilty. Of course, how many of you know God's merciful? Amen. And so we don't want to, that mercy of God. Thank God that when we get into a tough place, He's there for us. He doesn't abandon us. But, you know, there's so many things that we would have never had to walk through if we would have listened to the voice of the Holy Ghost. And again, it's not a fault-finding thing. You understand. Praise the Lord. But so many times, Christians, they get in a desperate situation and they start crying out for a miracle when what they really need is to go back and find, what did God tell you to do? Where was the leading? Go back and do that. Amen. Because so many times, you're going to see in the Word, your miracle is found in hearing the voice of the Holy Ghost. Hearing the voice of the Holy Ghost and miracles, they correspond with one another. All right, just know this, the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestations of the Holy Ghost, as detailed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you know, these manifestations that we hunger for, we desire for, how many of you know that the gifts of the Spirit are completely dependent upon the leading of the Spirit? God cannot use somebody in the gifts of the Spirit if they first don't know how to be led by the Spirit. Because if you've been using the gifts of the Spirit, you'll start to realize that the gifts of the Spirit begin to manifest when you are led by the Holy Ghost. You'll start getting a leading about the manifestation of the Spirit before the manifestation actually takes place. And so, so many things of God depend on being led by the Spirit of God. You know, to get into a place of desperation where you need a miracle to get out of it, you know, but yet you got there because you didn't follow the voice of the Holy Ghost, that's a very bad place to be in, because miracles don't operate in an environment of disobedience. Oh, praise the Lord. All right, well, you have your two places in your Bible held there. Let's go to Genesis 22, and we're going to talk about the time when God had instructed Abraham to offer his son Isaac on the altar. Big moment in history, right? And of course, let me just kind of fill in the story for you. How many of you know that God approached Abraham when Abraham was 75 years old? All right, it took, God promised a son. And he promised a son through Abraham and his wife Sarah. All right, Sarah was 10 years younger than Abraham, and they were actually related. No, well, back then things operated a little differently. They weren't related to all that close. Well, maybe they were. You can study that out if you want. But you know that God approached Abraham at 75 and said, I'm going to make you the father of nations. All the families of the world will be blessed through you. You know, and of course, age was becoming a real factor. And long story short, it took 25 years of Abraham's faith to finally bring the promise of the child, right? At nearly 100 years old, and Sarah just about 90 years old, when Isaac was finally born, all right? And God had promised that the covenant would follow Isaac, that the nations of the world would be blessed through Isaac's descendants, all right? So Isaac is the child of promise, much like Jesus was the child of promise, all right? We know that Isaac's life is a, we know that it's a representation. Of course, it actually happened, but it was a type and a shadow of Christ. Isaac is called the child of promise. And of course, Abraham is then told several years later to offer him as a sacrifice. And so at this point, Isaac is somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 to 12 years old, all right? And this was the most special thing that ever happened in Abraham's life. Isaac was his most precious possession, if you could call it that. You understand, God had worked a miracle to bring Isaac, and then all of a sudden God says, yeah, take him up to the top of the mountain and offer him as a burnt sacrifice. Now, we're going to read, we're going to pick it up here in verse 7, Genesis 22:7. And so they start heading that way, and how many of you know Abraham was fully prepared to sacrifice his son? All right, but we're going to look into the New Testament because the New Testament tells us what Abraham was thinking. And you might be thinking, well, what does this have to do about being led by the Spirit? You're going to see. It has everything to do with it, all right? And so let's start in Genesis 22:7. And of course, they're on their way up the mountain. And it says, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And Abraham said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? See, Isaac is getting a little nervous. We got everything but the lamb. And well, of course, Abraham replies in verse 8. Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And you can start to see that Abraham knew that God was not going to use Isaac. You know, Abraham knew that the promise and blessing of God rested on Isaac. Remember, Abraham already knew what God's word already said, that the nations of the earth were going to be blessed by Isaac, okay? And so Abraham is pretty confident here, but he's completely willing to follow through with it, all right? You need to remember the word willingness because it's going to come into play here. And he says in verse 9, and they came to a place which God had told them, and Abraham built an altar there. He laid the wood in order and bound or tied Isaac, his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now, at that point, you think Isaac's getting pretty nervous, all right? Just imagine this scene, what's taking place here. And in verse 10, it says, and Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. And so you can see Abraham was fully willing to do this. You say, oh my goodness, Pastor, this seems so barbaric. But remember, we're going to look into the New Testament because the New Testament tells us what Abraham was thinking at this moment. All right. And so verse 11, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And the angel said, now, of course, many scholars believe that this angel is actually Jesus himself. I personally think there's something to that. You're going to see by what the angel says. And there's other places in the scripture where Jesus is actually referenced to as an angel. The word angel means a messenger. All right, just so you know. And he said in verse 12, the angel, the Lord, said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that you fearest God, seeing you have not withheld your son, thine only son, from me. Of course, he wasn't withholding his son from the angel, all right? He was not withholding it from the Lord. And so we understand this messenger is most likely the Lord himself. And in verse 13, it says, and Abraham lifted up his eyes, looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket, by his horns, and Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. How many of you know Isaac is extremely relieved right about now? All right? Praise the Lord. So now we read Genesis 22. Hold your place there and go all the way to Hebrews 11:17. And now the New Testament is going to shed more light on what's going on here. Oh, this is so fun. Glory to God. Being led by the Spirit. You say, well, Pastor, where was Abraham led by the Spirit? The scripture said that an angel spoke out of heaven unto Abraham. How many of you know that was the Lord's voice? How many of you know Abraham heard the Lord's voice externally, whereas in the New Testament, we hear his voice internally? All right? Still, it was the Lord's voice, all right? If Abraham would have been born again like we are, that voice would have come through the inner witness, all right? But it was still the voice of God via the Spirit nonetheless, all right? And so now go over here to Hebrews 11:17. Look at this. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried or tested, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. See, God the Father had to do that as well. You understand that Abraham and Isaac were a type and shadow of the Father and Jesus. And so in verse 18, it says, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. See, Abraham was remembering what God said about Isaac. He knew that God could not use Isaac as a sacrifice because God had already spoken that it was Isaac in which the seed would be called. All right? And so verse 19, watch this. Watch this now. Accounting, this is what Abraham was thinking when he was about to sacrifice his son. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. And so when Abraham took that knife and lifted it up in the air and was about to plunge it into his son, he understood that God, because of God's word, because of God's promise, if Abraham actually carried through with it, God was going to have to raise Isaac up from the dead. That was the only thing that motivated Abraham to go forward with it, because he said, all right, if you want me to, I will, and if I go through with it, you're going to have to raise him from the dead because you've already put your blessing on Isaac. How many of you know you can't kill the blessing? How many of you know you can't kill the blessing? How many of you know you can't kill the covenant? Amen. There's nothing in this natural world that can cut that covenant that you have with your Heavenly Father. Amen. Nothing can kill those promises. If you will be willing and obedient, there's nothing that can bring those things to death in your life. Glory to God. So just think, you know, those unexpected bills, they can't take you out. You know, that financial trial can't take you out. You know, the symptom in your body can't take you out. Come on, there's nothing that can kill the promises of God. That's what Abraham was saying. God has already said, so even this knife, as naturally harmful as it could be, God will have to perform a miracle and raise him from the dead because his blessing is on it and a knife doesn't kill the blessing. Cancer can't kill the blessing. Poverty can't kill the blessing. Come on, you got to get a hold of this. Praise the Lord. And so look at this though, verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise Isaac up even from the dead. Now look at this. Now the King James, we got to take it slow here because you might not understand it. From whence also he received him in a figure. All right, what does that mean? It says that Abraham believed that God was going to raise Isaac from the dead. The rest of the verse says, from whence also Abraham received Isaac back from the dead in a manner of speaking. He did get Isaac back from the dead. So now you're all looking at me like, what are you talking about, Pastor? Can you bring up this verse in the Amplified Bible? Watch this. Hang on. Pay attention right now. This is going to help your life. For Abraham reasoned that God was able to raise Isaac up even from among the dead. Indeed, in the sense that Isaac was figuratively dead, potentially sacrificed, he did actually receive him back from the dead. Now, notice that Abraham did not put that knife into Isaac, but Isaac was still miraculously preserved. And the Bible said that that knife, if it would have gone into Isaac and God would have raised him up by a miracle, it was the same as God preventing Abraham from doing it in the first place. Stay with me. I'm going to explain it. All right. Notice Hebrews tells us what Abraham is thinking. He is thinking that God will have to perform a miracle to raise Isaac from the dead if he carries through with the sacrifice. All right, notice that it says that Abraham reasoned that God would raise him back to life. Then it says that Abraham did receive him back to life from the dead, all right, but Abraham never sacrificed him. So God did do a miracle for Abraham, and what was that miracle? God did do a miracle for him, did he not? It says that he did get him back from the dead, even though the knife never reached its mark. So what was the miracle that God performed to preserve Isaac's life? Hold your place in Hebrews. Go back to Genesis 22. Some of you are still like, Pastor, I'm getting nervous. I'm having a hard time following. Well, this is where it's going to make sense to you. go to Genesis 22:11. What did God do to bring Isaac back from the life, or back from the dead? You know, brought him back to life. What did he do? Look at verse 11. He spoke. Boy, I know, big thunderous applause on that. What did he do? He led Abraham. He spoke to him. He said, I won't need to raise him from the dead, but if you will just hear my voice and obey it, I will prevent that death and preserve Isaac and still call it a miracle. Glory to God. Watch this. In verse 11, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham, with a knife in his hand, with his son underneath him, said, here I am. Right? Think about that moment. Knife going up. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes, Lord, I hear you. Here I am, Abraham says. And in verse 12, and he said, lay not your hand upon the lad. Don't do anything unto him. For now I know that you fearest God because you did not withhold your only begotten son from me. So God speaks to Abraham and says, don't go any further. Don't harm the lad. All right. And Abraham heard the voice from heaven. He was led by the Spirit. He put the knife down, and God's word in Hebrew says that that was just as good as raising Isaac from the dead. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God did take Isaac from the dead back into life. Amen. Praise the Lord. God spoke to Abraham and told him what not to do. The voice of God spoke. Abraham was sensitive to it, and God says, don't go through with it. All right? Don't do that. What if Abraham would have violated that voice and plunged that knife into Isaac anyway? Isaac would not have been brought back to life. Because in this instance, God chose to preserve Isaac through the leading of the Spirit, not by a miracle in the sense that we're thinking. You cannot violate the voice of God and then expect a miracle to take you out of it later on. If he would have carried through with that sacrifice, Isaac and the blessing would have been killed. But God spoke and said, you want him back from the dead? Then follow my voice and it will be just as good as if I raised him from the dead after the knife hit him. Think about that. Now I'm going to connect the dots here for you. Are you ready? Praise the Lord. All right. Glory to God. In God's eyes, when he spoke out of heaven, it was the same as bringing Isaac back to life as if he had died naturally. The miracle of God came in the form of preventing Abraham from doing something to harm him. Whew, come on now. So many of God's people are crying out for a miracle, but do you hear his voice telling you not to go that direction in the first place? Come on now. Amen. Praise the Lord. The miracle of God came in the form of preventing Abraham from going into a place where a miracle would be needed in the first place. Come on now, do you see that? And God says it's just as miraculous. It's just as supernatural to be led not to do something than it is to violate that voice and get yourself into a desperate place where only a miracle can rescue you. Be led from the beginning. So many Christians, they've gotten to the point, they've gone through with the sacrifice as it is, and now they want God to raise their life from the dead, but they violated the leading of the Spirit back here. It's not a miracle you need as much as you need a hunger or a desire to hear God's voice and to obey it. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God, it'll save your life. How many things in our lives have been miraculously preserved because we heard the voice of God? Come on. Notice this. Miracles are not just miracles of commission. Let me explain what I mean that. A miracle of commission. A miracle of commission would be if somebody had something in their body. Let's say they've never walked before because, such as, Acts chapter 14, Acts chapter 3, you know, maybe they didn't have the bones in their legs, or they didn't have, maybe they were born crippled or something, and, you know, and hands were laid on them, and those new body parts or bones or whatever were created in them, and they walked for the first time. How many of you know that would be a creative miracle? That would be a miracle of commission, meaning it would be something that you could see. It would be something that the evidence would be displayed before you, all right? Meaning it would be obvious and evident in front of us all. But what about miracles of omission? Things that did not happen, because that miraculously did not happen because we obeyed the voice of God, and those things were prevented in our life. Amen. How many things have been omitted against us because God's voice spoke to us? We listened, we heard from heaven, we did what he said, and now certain things that the devil had planned for us, or things that could have harmed us, never happened, never took place, because miraculously we heard God's voice in our spirit, obeyed. See, that would be a miracle of omission. Things were omitted from our life. You understand? Woo, praise the Lord. Think about that. You could say it this way. Abraham got his son back through a miracle of omission. Meaning that natural death was spared Isaac because God's voice intervened, and Abraham was in covenant with God and he heard that voice. Praise the Lord. How much more those of us that have the Holy Ghost living on the inside of us. See, when the Spirit of God speaks to you and he gives you a direction, there's something he's trying to omit that's in your path. There's something that he's trying to get you to avoid, not get you into a place where, you know, you get into a mess and now the only thing way out is a miracle. Thank God for God's mercies. Thank God for miracles. But you understand that first and foremost, guess what is more important to God than miracles? Being led by the Spirit of God, hearing his voice. What is more important to God than the gifts of the Holy Ghost? The leading of the Holy Ghost. Because both miracles and the gifts of the Spirit completely depend on being led. Oh, do you get what happened here? God, you know, had commanded Abraham to take Isaac to the top of the mountain to sacrifice him. Right in the midst of that thing, God said, don't do it. And Abraham said, all right, sounds good. And God said, that was just the same as raising Isaac from the dead. Because he just heard the voice of God from heaven and obeyed it. And now that death of Isaac was prevented, come on. Praise the Lord. Amen. See, miracles can be of omission, preventing harm or preserving something through the instruction of the Spirit. Abraham's miracle is that Isaac was preserved, not being raised from the dead physically. Notice the word called preserving Isaac equal to raising him from the dead. So many times Christians, you know, Brother Hagin, he said this over and over, we miss the supernatural because we demand the spectacular. If we had a service, if it was a funeral service, and there was somebody in the casket, and yet, you know, someone came up and laid hands on that person in the casket, and they came to life, everyone would say, now that's a miracle. But in God's word, he said, if you hear his voice and things are omitted from your life that would have caused you harm, he said, that is just as good as if someone was raised from the dead. Thank God. He says, in a measure, he did get Isaac back from the dead. Because if you would have carried through with it, Isaac would have died. But the voice of God preserved Isaac's life. Amen. Notice the word called preserving Isaac equal to raising him from the dead. So now you got to ask yourself, how many times has your marriage been brought back from the dead because you heard the voice of God? Amen. How many times have your children been preserved because you heard the voice of God? How many times has your job been preserved, or your finances have been preserved? When you hear God's voice speaking to you, all of that stuff is connected, whether it's directly about that or not. There is something when the Spirit speaks to you, gives you that direction, tells you what way to go, there are things that he's trying to omit from your life that would have tried to bring you harm, try to bring down the plan of God. Thank God for the leading of the Holy Ghost. Come on, praise the Lord. So many times, Christians think they are in a place where they need a miracle. But when God was speaking to them so they would never get to that place of desperation, God was speaking somewhere along that line to get you out of that place of desperation. Now, I'm not talking about hard times can come, you know, things can challenge our life. And I'm not saying that you'll never be tested. Of course, we know trials and things happen. But I'm saying there are some things that we unnecessarily walk through if we miss the leading of the Holy Ghost. Come on, think about how essential this is. No wonder why Abraham is called the father of faith. Why? Because he was the first one led. He was the one willing to be led. He was willing to offer the best thing that he had to God. He was willing to obey God when God said stop. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. How many hard places would we be spared from if we would just be led by the Spirit? See, in Abraham's case and all throughout the Bible, miracles operate on obedience, not disobedience. Amen. A Christian that has spent their life not hearing the voice of the Spirit will not qualify for a miracle because they are in disobedience. To not hear God's voice in our spirit is called disobedience. To not be led is called disobedient. Don't sit here and think that I'm blaming you for something bad that's happened in your life. That's not what we're talking about here. But I'm just saying, as a pastor, I've seen a lot of Christians get into a lot of tight places in this life. And they cry out for a miracle when they should be crying out for the leading of the Spirit. The way out of it is not a miracle. The way out is to hear his voice, to do what he said. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Miracles are not to pull you out of your responsibility to be led by the Spirit. I'm going to say that again. Miracles are not to pull you out of your responsibility to be led by the Spirit. You got to be led. You can't just forego the leading or miss the leading and then cry out for a miracle. Making somebody mad. Making somebody mad. Christians are told to hunger for miracles when we should be hungry for God's voice. Because miracles exist within the voice of God. Amen. No miracle happens apart from his voice. No miracle happens apart from his leading. Amen. Glory to God. And so, you know, I want you tonight, you know, to leave this service hungry to hear God's voice in your spirit. It is essential. It is crucial. We cannot miss being led of the Holy Ghost in our spirit. Amen. Like I said, miracles are dependent upon the leading of the Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Ghost are dependent on the leading of the Spirit. A person who is ignorant of being led by the Spirit cannot be used in the gifts of the Spirit. You got to be led. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Praise the Lord. Think about that. Think of when God speaks to you and gives you a directive or tells you to do something, there's a miracle attached to it. And guess what? You might not even become aware of what you were spared from because you obeyed that voice. Now, in Abraham's case, he knew what was spared. He knew Isaac was spared. But we won't know everything we're spared from when God's voice gives us a direction. How many things can be brought back to life in your life because you heard the voice of God? Hallelujah. Oh, Father, I want to hear your voice. It is the number one thing. In 2018, there have been four main points of prayer that I've been approaching God for. And the first is, Father, I just hunger and desire to hear your voice. Nothing else will happen. Nothing will be of any consequence if we don't first hear his voice. Amen. I want to be led by the Holy Ghost. I want to hear from heaven. Oh, praise the Lord. We got to be led. Where did I tell you to go? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's go on over there. Praise the Lord. And we're going to go, Oh, let's start in verse 11. 1 Corinthians 2:11, and let's talk again about how we hear the voice of God in our spirit. Now, if you're here and you've been here for a while, you know, you're going to hear things that I've taught many times before. And just like, you know, many ministers have said that Brother Hagin, he delivered us from the fear of repetition. You know, if you think, well, I've heard this before, you need to hear it and hear it and hear it. Because just lately, it's been impressed so strong upon me about how grieved the Holy Ghost is, how his people do not hear the voice of God speaking to them. All right, they don't even know anything about the spirit of man. And so if you don't know anything about the spirit of man, you won't know about the spirit of God talking with your spirit. All right, look at this. 1 Corinthians 2:11, look at this. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? And then it says, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. All right. Now, of course, and then verse 12 goes on to say, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know. Everyone say no. The things that are freely given to us of God, okay? How many of you know God has given you things and he wants you to know it, but notice the things that God has given to you or planned for your life, where is he going to communicate that to? The spirit of man, back there in verse 11, right? And go back over there. For what man knows the things of a man's or a person's life except the spirit of man is within him, that is within him? You know, that sounds a lot like, you know, Proverbs 4:23, that out of the heart are the issues of life. Everything in your life is going to come out of your spirit. Everything in your life. How do I say this? I want to say this correctly. The health or the strength in everything in your life will correspond to the strength in your spirit. Okay, hold your place here, 1 Corinthians 2. Oh boy, do I want to, I wasn't planning on going over here, but now I'm going to open a can of worms here. Go with me back to the book of Proverbs. Go to Proverbs chapter 14. And now we're going to just start going through everything. Proverbs chapter 14 in verse 30. We're going to start here. All right, my. Everything in your life, before we go to 14, go over to chapter 4 again. Let me just read you the scripture I just quoted a moment ago so you can see this again. I want you to see it with your own eyes. Proverbs 4:23. Then we're going to take a walk through the book of Proverbs. All right? Yep. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let me say it again. Keep your heart. That word keep means guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it, or out of your spirit, comes every issue of life. Physically, all right, financially, maritally, you cannot get out of life what isn't put in here first. That's why Jesus said over there in the parable of the sower, Mark 4:14, the sower sows the word. And the soil is the heart of a man or a woman. Amen? And you can only grow in this life what you have sown into your spirit. Everything around you will follow the strength of your spirit. Praise the Lord. So your spirit is going to have to be fed. It is going to have to be strong. It is going to have to be nourished. It is going to have to be sensitive to the voice of God. Praise the Lord. All right, look at this. Out of it, out of your spirit, is the issues of life, okay? Now, let's go over to Proverbs 14:30. How about physical health? Is that an issue of life? Okay. And how many of you know that every one of us at, you know, some time, we're going to need strength in our bodies every day? But I mean, you know, you might go through a trial or a test in your body, all right? The answer is always to come out of your spirit. All right? Look at this. In verse 30, a sound heart is the life of the flesh. But envy is the rottenness of the bones. Look at that verse. You can read it just casually, but you'll miss it. The word sound means a heart or a spirit at peace. All right? So being at peace in your spirit is the life of the flesh. That word life is the Hebrew word for strength. Strength in your flesh. All right? Notice where strength in your flesh comes from. Your spirit. Or what the scripture says is the heart. That means the center of man or the spirit of man. All right? Your body will feed from the life of the spirit that is in you. All right? Absolutely. Glory to God. But notice what happens to people that have heart issues. Folks, listen up right now. Some of you are like, well, I'm just going to coast through this. You know, you'll find yourself in need and you'll wish you would have listened. All right? Notice envy is the rottenness or the decay of the bones. Envy is a word that means that you look upon people wrong. Envy means that you look and you wish you could take what they have. Envy is the first cousin to jealousy. All right? Notice if your relationships or the way you treat people are wrong, that's a heart problem. And that heart problem can now ill affect your flesh. It does not pay to not walk in mercy. You better be merciful with people, because mercy strengthens your spirit, which in turn, you know, protects or strengthens your flesh. Forgiveness, patience with people, kindness. You better understand, you know. I'll tell you what, if you're going to have a home that is nonstop strife and fighting, I'll guarantee you, you will have a home that'll be filled with symptoms all the time. All right, and I don't mean just you went through a test or something like that. I'm talking about you'll just keep visiting the same old stuff, because you keep fighting and strifing in your home. A sound heart is the strength of your body. Yeah. But if you're filled with envy or fighting, jealousy, and strife, it'll rot your bones. It'll tear up your body to live in strife. Bible says you better live in peace with people, because that's what's going to strengthen your flesh. Why? Envy will rot your flesh because it's a heart issue. Yeah, but peace is also a heart issue. You never realize how much that offense was trying to steal from you. Praise the Lord. Going to be hard to hear the voice of God if you're fighting all the time. You know? And I quote it, I've said it before, in the words of the Jedi Master Yoda, the dark side clouds everything. You are not going to hear God's voice if you're fighting and strifing all the time. Amen. You're there in Proverbs. Wasn't planning on going over here. Go over to chapter 18, verse 14. Praise the Lord. Look at this. Proverbs 18, 14. It says, the spirit of a man. See, everyone just thought, well, you're going to put all this on God. Well, no. You have to feed your spirit with the word of God. You got to build your spirit through prayer and fellowship. You got to be led of the spirit and obey what God's saying to you. Verse 14 says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity or his weaknesses or sicknesses. All right? But a wounded spirit, who could bear? Giving us the idea that someone who is strong spirited, if they're attacked in their body, they will recover much faster than somebody who was attacked with the same thing, but they weren't as strong spiritually. Come on now. Amen. You know, we have to understand why. Because out of your spirit flow all the issues of life. Physical health. Your marriage will only be as strong as you are in your spirit. You don't want to spend time in the Word. You don't want to pray. Your marriage is going to suffer. Your body may end up suffering. Your relationships will suffer. Your job could suffer. Your finances, because all the issues of life are flowing out of the strength or the weakness of your spirit. Wow. Oh boy, we could just keep going through the book of Proverbs. For the sake of time, go back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 again. But do you see why verse 11 says what it does? 1 Corinthians 2:11, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is within him. Think about that. Yeah. Where's the plan of God for your life? In your spirit. Your spirit better be fed. It better be grown. It better be strong. Amen. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. And of course, you know, we could go up there. Why don't we? I wasn't planning on it, but it almost feels like we have to do it. Go up to verse 9. Go up to 1 Corinthians 2:9. It says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." All right? Now, of course, people take that scripture and they talk about it at funerals and they think that it's talking about heaven. I'm going to tell you right now, or I'm going to remind you, verse 9 has nothing to do with heaven at all. It's talking about the things that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man of what God has planned for you on this earth. Why? Look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, "But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." Man, I love that verse. I wasn't planning on going here, but I see we have to, you know, go back to this. So the things that eye cannot see, ear cannot hear, or mind cannot conceive, God will reveal those wonderful things to us by his Spirit to our spirit. Amen. And notice it says the Holy Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Folks, have you ever wondered what's taking place when you pray in the Holy Ghost? Can we bring up Jude verse 20? This is a very familiar scripture for us. Of course, a reference to praying in other tongues, praying in the Holy Ghost. Jude verse 20, let's bring that up. Amen. It says, "But you, beloved, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." When you are praying in other tongues, remember what the Bible said in 1 Corinthians. It says the Spirit is searching out the deep things for your life. He is searching. Or what I like to say, he's drilling. He's drilling down to those deep things. Amen. And of course, we've used the illustration many times before. Think of all the natural resources that are on this earth. Think about the gas, the oil. You know, think about the gold. Think about the precious stones and the minerals. Where are all those things right now? They're in the earth. How many of you know when, you know, people strike it rich with those things, they got to drill. And you've all seen the old, you know, whether it's the old cartoons, the old movies or whatever, or maybe you've heard the stories of East Texas or whatever, you know, and they're drilling and drilling and they hit a gusher. You know, and you've seen those oil derricks, and I mean, there's this oil, you know, spurting out of the top of it, and there's people dancing under it, and the crude oil's falling on them. Why? They're rejoicing like those that just struck it rich. Why? Because they got down far enough, and they hit the payday. Amen. You know, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you are drilling down. You're letting the Holy Ghost search for those deep things in your life. Oh, you know, Christians, they want the payday, but they don't want to drill. They don't want to dig. Oh, praise the Lord. But that's where it is. God has revealed these things to us by his Spirit. Notice he revealed them to us. I mean, the word revealed means to show you what you could have. Revealed is not the same as handing it to you. He says the Spirit searches the deep thing, the things of God, the deep things of God. We're back over here in 1 Corinthians 2:10 again. Notice it says God has revealed these good things. They're so good, the Bible says that your eye can't even see it. You know, meaning in the natural, you couldn't even imagine something that good. Your mind can't even wrap itself around it. But God reveals these things to us by his Spirit. Because the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God, and that's why he says in verse 11, all right, "For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man?" Where is God going to reveal those things to you? He's going to reveal, he's going to show you what could be in your spirit. The first thing he does, he shows you what could be in your spirit. Folks, are you here tonight? I don't know if I'm shooting over your head or something like that. I'm not trying to. I don't believe that I am, but I mean, I tell you what, listen. because you know there's people in here. You're believing God. You're looking, you know, to the future that God has for you. Notice it has to be revealed first in your spirit. Your future will first, at least in part, be revealed to you on the inside. Where you are generally going is first revealed on the inside. All right, it isn't just handed to you. It starts to be revealed to you. All right, and it's going to be, it says, you know, you aren't going to have any clue about the future for your life unless you get it in the spirit of man. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And now verse 12 again. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why did God give us his spirit? That we would know the things that are freely given to us of God. Amen. Glory to God. And it says, verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Why does the Spirit of God reveal to you on the inside the plans for your future so that you can speak them? There is nothing that God can move into your life until he first reveals it to the spirit of man, and then the spirit of man will then speak it into the earth. God needs people that will speak these things into the earth. Praise the Lord. Do you see this process? You praying in the Holy Ghost. You meditating in the Word. Your spirit growing, getting stronger, getting sensitive. God speaking. God revealing. You're drilling down into the deep things of God. All of a sudden, God revealing, and then you speaking. Do you see this process? Folks, this is where your life is. This is what God's trying to get over to the body of Christ. And Christians aren't doing this. There's nothing being revealed to them. Why? Because they're not listening. They're not feeding their spirit. Oh, come on now. We've received not. I'm back up there in verse 12. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we would know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now in verse 13, there are two ways that these things can be spoken into the earth. Are you ready? Well, we're going to talk about at least two ways. I guess we could say, I mean, we could make an argument for a few other ways. All right. Number one, when they're revealed to you, they're spoken by your mouth, all right, in your known language by faith. You first can speak these things that are revealed to you by faith. I wish I could just start saying some things that God has, you know, shown me that I could speak, but I'm just not permitted to say it here. But there's things concerning my life. There's things concerning my family. There's things concerning my boys that I speak. Amen. Because those things have been revealed to me, and I speak them into the earth, even if I speak them by myself. Because that's the process which God uses to further the plan of God on the earth. All right? But those words could also be the second way you could speak them into the earth is by the Holy Ghost as you pray in other tongues. All right? As you pray in other tongues, those things could be spoken of the Holy Ghost that your mind is not even aware of. Because when you pray in other tongues, you speak the perfect will of God. Amen. And of course, we could go and we could make an argument that tongues and interpretation could be used where you are, you know, praying in other tongues in your devotional time. And then the Spirit of God, the Bible says that we should pray and ask that we interpret our tongues, that we could also be edified by that. And then you could, you know, interpret that tongue and speak into the earth those things that way. You know, that would be completely right. You could also be praying and you could be given utterances of prophecy. You could be inspired to speak different things as you pray. Glory to God. I mean, we could keep going, but number one, you speak those things by faith. Number two, you speak those things by the Holy Ghost as you pray in other tongues. Amen. Glory to God. All right. I hope everyone's, you know, grabbing a hold of this. Thank God for Abraham. What things are being prevented in your life? What miracles are happening that you weren't even aware of Amen. Because you heard the voice of God, you spoke these things out. All right? Because look at verse 14 now. It says, but the natural man receives not the Spirit of God. Are you ready for some conviction now? Here's the warning. The word natural is the word carnal. The carnal man. This means the one that is only living in the natural. Ooh, here we go. Now it's going to get quiet. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are only spiritually discerned. God is not communicating with your flesh. He is not communicating with your carnal mind. He is communicating with your spirit. All right? The natural man, or the carnal man, the man that only watches TV, receives not the things of the Spirit of God. The one that is addicted to Facebook receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Come on now. The one that does every other natural thing except spend time in the Word and spend time in prayer will not receive these things. Now, of course, we all will have a carnal life. God wants you to have, you know, things in your life that you enjoy, but he doesn't want those things to override the time of Word and prayer. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. But if the only thing you do is come home from work, crash in front of the TV for hours, and just go to bed, if that is your constant program, you will not receive. You will not receive the things of the Spirit of God. God will not reveal things to someone of pure carnality. Oh boy, I wish somebody would help me out up here. Yeah, praise the Lord. Boy, you were excited about Abraham. He was hearing the voice of God, and everything was being spared, and he was getting miracles of omission. Well, now we got to look at the doing side of it, how we actually carry these things out. The carnal man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Why are they foolishness? You don't understand it. You don't understand somebody you don't talk to. You don't understand somebody you don't spend time with. You don't understand them. You know, come on, we've used this illustration before too. How many of you have ever had to send a text message or an email to somebody, you don't know them really well, and they totally misunderstood your words because they don't know how you would word that, or they can't hear the inflections of your voice in that message? You know, have you ever had that problem? Have you ever had confusion over text messaging or emails? Oh my goodness, I've had people take my words so out of context. See, and those are people that don't know me. See, when my wife, you know, when she sends me a text message, I understand, you know, I can hear her voice in that written message because I know her. Yeah, amen. See, you aren't going to understand what God's trying to say to you if you don't know him, if you don't spend time with him. You won't understand, because those things are going to seem so foolish to your mind. If you think God is going to speak to you in things that just make sense, he will have you to do things that'll make people mad. They won't understand you. They'll think you're crazy. You better get ready for when the Spirit of God talks to you, that if you got to put your reputation on the line, if you got to, you know, turn something sideways, not, come on now. Oh, there's going to be times when God tells you that less is more. There's going to be things that God tells you to give away. And your mind is going to be like, no way. See, the carnal man says, no way, that's foolish. I'm never going to give that up. See? But a spiritual person says, God, anything of mine is up for grabs. Everything. Abraham, my son is even on the altar. Wow, that was a man who was very willing. That's why he received miracles. You know? But, you know, God could speak to you and say, hey, give this, do that. And your mind will say, no way, that's foolish. See, you better be prepared, you know, for God to speak to you in terms that don't always make sense to your mind. But if you fellowship with God, if you know him, it won't be foolishness. There's been several times my wife and I have been told to give away every last cent that we have. That has happened more than once over these last several years. You know, if you've been around here long enough, you probably, you know, remember those times, you know. When that happens, all right. And your mind says, foolishness, foolishness, can't do that. Well, that's what the carnal mind says. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Neither can this foolish man, carnal man, can't understand them because they're only spiritually discerned. Your mind can't understand it. Your body can't understand it. You're going to have to grow your spirit. You are going to have to feed your spirit. Amen. The carnal man, the one that just sits around watches TV instead of praying, receives not the things of the Spirit of God. The carnal man that just sits on the internet, goes to Facebook all day or YouTube, doesn't mean you can't enjoy those things at times. I'm just talking about not, you know, putting those things in front of your word and prayer time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Notice, if you're just carnal, you'll just think, there was things waiting for you the whole time. There was, you know, treasure down there waiting to be discovered, but you never got to know it because you never spent any time digging. Spend time digging. Pastor, we heard your church is filled with a bunch of gold diggers. That's right. We're gold diggers. We're digging into the miracles of God, the provision of God, the fullness of God. Everyone wants to talk about the abundance of God, but they don't want to do what the Word says to do to get it. Amen. Remember, out of your spirit are all the issues of life. Marital issues, out of your spirit. You know why marriages struggle? Because people aren't spending any time in prayer and word. Amen. You know why a Christian spends their whole life believing in prosperity but never walks into any of it? Because they didn't spend time feeding their spirit. Listen, if God's going to invest into you, He wants you to first invest into your spirit. Stop investing into your flesh so much. Come on, you invest into your spirit. God's going to say, that's somebody I can speak to. That's somebody I can trust. That's somebody I can use. Amen. We must be led by the Holy Ghost, and this is how we do it. This is how we do it. All right. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man within him? You will never know anything about the plan of God for your life until you first grow and build your spirit. You know, if there was a way around it, you know, God would tell us, but there's not. You know, there's no easy way to discipline. There's no easy way. There is no mechanic in a can. There is no such thing as fixing that engine problem by going and buying a $3 additive at AutoZone. It does not work. It's a gimmick. All right? There's no mechanic in a can. There is, you know, no diet in a pill. You understand? It takes discipline and hard work and balance, and it's going to take effort, and Christians do not want to hear that today. But if you're going to be like Abraham, do you get anything out of this here tonight? Praise the Lord. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. We all just need to meditate on that for a moment. And if you've become the natural man, you know, if you become someone that's just overwhelmed with carnality, better haul yourself out. Better haul yourself out. And listen, we all have been there. We all have let that happen to us at times. That's why the Bible says, stir yourself up. Stir yourself up. Do you get any help out of this here tonight? Well, let's go ahead. Let's just stand to our feet. Let's just honor God and worship God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Miss Renee, if you could come up and just strum something for us on the guitar, that would be nice. Let's just praise God and worship God. We're just not going to rush out and dismiss this service. We're going to just wait upon the Lord. Father, we just praise you. We glorify you. Father, you are so faithful. Father, you are so faithful. And Father God, there's no doubt that we all could repent for not being the spiritual man or woman that you called us to be. That, Father, that we've all at times allowed ourselves to be too carnal. And Father, we know that you want us to have a life and to, you know, enjoy natural things. You've given those things to us to richly enjoy, your word says. But Father, not at the expense of growing our spirit. And Father, we know how that happens. That faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Lord Jesus, you said the sower sows the word into their heart. Lord, your word says that a sound or peaceful spirit is the strength of the flesh. Lord, you said that a man could be sustained through a sickness or illness by the strength of the Spirit that's within him. And so, Father, we thank you. We praise you tonight. We glorify you. Father, we see Abraham received a miracle. He received his son back from the dead because he could be led by the Spirit. Lord, you said that that was a miracle of preservation, that Isaac was preserved because Abraham just simply heard the voice of God from heaven and obeyed. Father, how much more us with the Spirit of God living on the inside. Father, we just praise you tonight. Let's just praise him, worship him. Just glorify him. Just wait upon the Lord. Naturally speaking, I don't have anything in my mind that we are to do, but that's why we're waiting on God. So many times I've made the mistake of just quickly dismissing a service and then, you know, we shut the Lord right out. We don't want to do that. Father, we just praise you tonight. We glorify you, Father. We glorify you, Father. We glorify you, Father. Father, we know that marriages would be healed. Father, we know that bodies would be healed. Father, we know that finances would be restored if we would just dig. Father, if we would just press in to the things that you have for our lives, because Lord, you said they're so good that I can't see them where they are right now. They're beyond our natural senses. Ear cannot hear, mind cannot conceive how good they are. So Father, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you. Thank you, Father, we praise you. And Father, we just say our desire is to hear the voice of God. Father, we hunger to hear your voice. We are willing to obey your voice. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yeah, I'll read it. There's a verse playing in my spirit concerning this, and it's right near where we were earlier. And I'm going to find it, and it's going to take me just a second here to pull this up. Yeah, this is right in connection to after the angel of the Lord spoke to Abraham out of heaven the first time about Isaac. That same chapter, Genesis 22:15, goes on to say, "And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing," meaning not withheld Isaac, "and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies." Praise the Lord. And that's the word that was playing in my spirit a moment ago, that in blessing I will bless thee. By multiplying, I will multiply thee because you heard the voice of God and because you acted on it. So, Father, we thank you. We want to hear your voice. And, Father, we know that we cannot be multiplied. We cannot be blessed until we hear your voice on the inside, until we're like Abraham. Father, that we're led by your voice from heaven. Father, we just cry out. Father, we want to be led that way. We want to be used that way. Father God, we're just a church, and we want you to be able to say that about us, that we withheld nothing from you. We withheld nothing from you. Yeah. Yeah, there's more distractions now than there were in the time of Abraham. There's more distractions. There's more voices in this life that are trying to pull you out of that time with God. So you're going to have to press through. You're going to have to ignore those voices. You're going to have to set up an appointment with God in your own home. You will have to spend time. You will have to press in. You will have to get to know the ways of the Lord. And he'll reveal to you. He'll reveal to you. And so, Father, that's our heart desire tonight. Father, we want to hear your voice. Father, we want to press in. Father, we want you to reveal those things that you've planned for our lives. Let's just praise him. Let's just worship him. Father, we glorify you. We glorify you, Father. Yep. By blessing, I will bless thee. By multiplying, I will multiply thee. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let's just praise him and worship him. Father, we just submit to you. Father, we just wait upon you here tonight. Lord, if there is something else that you'd like us to do, Father, we are just willing Father, we are ready. We want to obey. Father, we just bless you. We bless you. We just bless you. We praise you. We glorify you. We glorify you. We glorify you. We glorify you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Michelle, could you come forward, please? Praise the Lord. Just everyone, let's just continue to worship God. We're just going to obey the voice of God. Father, we just praise you. We glorify you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm to lay hands upon you for clarity within your mind. And so, Father, I thank you for the anointing of God that is upon my hands. That, Father, as I lay hands on my sister in the Lord, Father, I thank you that clarity is restored to her mind. And Father, we thank you. We take authority over that spirit of fear. And we say it is not permitted to operate any longer. And so in Jesus' name, receive clarity in your mind, peace of mind. Thank you, Father. Just praise Him. Just praise Him. Just praise Him. Just glorify Him. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Just praise Him and worship Him. We're just going to continue to wait on Him. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Just praise Him. Just praise Him. Just praise Him. Just praise Him. Father, we glorify You. We magnify You here tonight. Yeah. Oh, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. You know, there's things that are being given to me for people that aren't here. And I'll tell you what, I don't like that. I don't. Father, we just praise you. Praise you, Father. You know, God has something good. He's faithful to deliver their mail, but they're not here. So faithful and you're so good. So making sure I'm missing. They're not here. They're not here. Father, you're just so good. You're so good. Father, we thank you. We thank you. You know, you can go ahead and open your eyes. You know, it's so vital to understand that you play a part in your church family. You know, there's certain things right now in the service. This is a teaching moment for us. There are certain things right now that are not going to happen in this service that may have or could have because somebody is not here to receive what God has for them. And I don't mean because they had a need, you know, with a child or something. I'm talking about, you know, they could have been here and they're frivolously not here. And it grieves the Spirit of God. It does. And I'll tell you what, as a pastor, I'm just going to speak, you know, real here. It hurts when you know that God has something for somebody, but they're not able to get it. You know, God doesn't give something unless He wants them to receive it. But you have to be where God told you to be, you know, and it can affect not just you, your life, or your family. It can absolutely affect a whole church congregation, you know, and we have to understand that we are vital parts of one another. Amen. You know, because as soon as, I'm looking around, person's not here. It's like the anointing of God just lifts, you know, and it's like we can't go any further, you know, and if we got to learn a lesson the hard way, so be it. We got to learn these things. Well, let's just praise Him. Let's just worship Him. Father, we thank you. You're faithful. Father, you're faithful. Father, you're faithful. Father, you're faithful. Father, you're good to us. Father, we thank you. You show up. But Lord, you do speak to your people as, you know, one unit. And we're all parts of one another. And what we do does affect everyone around us. So, Father, we just thank you. We thank you. And we thank you. We just praise you. We glorify you. We magnify you. Father, we thank you so much. So, Father, as we have an opportunity to sow into the house of God tonight, Father, we thank you for this opportunity. And we know that every time we sow good seed into good ground, harvest is imminent. Father, we know that sowing and reaping, it works. And, Father, we're not just givers, we're forgivers. Father, we love to give, but we love to be good to people, merciful to people. And, Father, we know that our giving will never work unless we're merciful. And so, Father, we just love you tonight. We praise you tonight. Father, we thank you that harvest comes. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for giving and receiving. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Brothers, you may serve the people. Praise the Lord. Well, I'll tell you what, it's an interesting service here tonight. And if it, you know, takes something like this to make us all understand how vital we are to every service, I mean, I don't know as if I've ever had that happen just like that before. Whereas there was somebody that was supposed to be here, and they're not, and there was something that, you know, was supposed to happen, there was something that was supposed to continue in this service, and it came to a screeching halt. I'm just being, you know, real honest with you. It just all of a sudden, it was like, okay, well, let's move on. It was like, we can't move on. It just lifted. Just lifted like that. And so let's just all be reminded that we all play a vital part in our church family. Amen. Well, let's just give them the praise and the glory, and we'll be dismissed. Father, we just glorify you. We magnify you tonight. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. You are dismissed.